It's 6:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Moreno with KRWG News. Tomorrow night at 5, we continue a four-part documentary series on education from American Public Media. Here's a preview.
From American Public Media, this is an APM Reports documentary. I'm Emily Hanford. From APM Reports, this is Still Rising, first-generation college students a decade later. Kati Sorto and Mario Martinez both went to Montgomery College, a community college in Maryland. In the first part of this program, I'm going to tell you a bit about their first year in school and why they both faced long odds when it came to getting degrees. Higher education is more important than it's ever been if you want a well-paying job. And while most college students from upper-income families go to the kinds of schools you see in movies, colleges with lush lawns and stately brick buildings, nearly half of all first-generation college students end up at two-year community colleges. But you don't apply to a community college in the traditional sense. There are no essays to write, you don't submit SAT scores and hope you get accepted. Most community colleges are open enrollment. Everyone gets in. Half of all Hispanic college students in the United States start at a community college. That was Kati Sorto, buying a cup of coffee in the Student Center back in September of 2008. I was with her on her first day of classes at Montgomery College. We met up with one of her friends.
Well, hi, my name is Talia Navre. I'm 18 years old. Kati is my best friend, and I've known her for 5 years.
Yeah. So you guys know each other from high school?
Yeah, well, middle school, 8th grade.
Talia and Kati were nervous as they started college. They said their high school teachers hadn't expected much from them. They didn't think they were really ready for college. And they weren't, at least according to the placement test they took when they enrolled here. Kati tested into an ESL class. That stands for English as a Second Language. She was born in the United States, but she lived in El Salvador for several years and then came back to this country when she was in middle school. And even though she went to American public schools for 7 years, she ended up in the lowest level ESL class here. Kati would have to get through 6 more of these classes before she'd be eligible for an English class that counted for credit toward a college degree. And she had to take remedial math, too. More than 60% of community college students have to take remedial classes.
In some ways, they aren't even in college yet.
This is James Rosenbaum. He's a sociologist at Northwestern University who studies community colleges. He says a lot of students don't even realize they're in remedial classes.
They're in college buildings, but they're in college buildings taking high school courses.
Mario Martinez tested into a remedial writing class. That's where I met him in the summer of 2008. But by his second semester at Montgomery College, he'd made it into a college-level English class.
After you look at the purpose for writing the essay, I want you to look at the writing style.
It's pretty impressive that Mario made it to college English so fast. He hadn't even made it through 10th grade, got kicked out of high school, got his GED when he was in jail.
This is a difficult problem, and some wise and compassionate people are working hard at it.
This was Mario in his English class back in 2008. He'd been called on to read aloud from one of the essays the class read for homework. Then he was supposed to identify where the writer stated the main idea. He was a bit off.
The actual main idea is a little farther down in that same paragraph and also in paragraph 9.
Mario's classmates ribbed him gently for not getting it right, and he smiled. He has this really big smile. Later, I asked Mario if he thought he needed what he was learning in this class.
Oh, yeah, I need it a lot.
He said he needed help with the basics, especially grammar. He told me he liked school when he was little, but by 6th grade, he was getting in trouble a lot, stopped paying attention. In college, he was beginning to feel good about school again. He'd been reading a lot, not just stuff for school, but self-help books, books about Christianity. He'd started going to church about a year after he got out of jail. It was a big part of his life. The challenges for poor kids accumulate when they go to poor public schools, where they tend to get less experienced teachers and fewer opportunities to take advanced classes. When it's time to think about college, they don't have parents who can guide them or pay for things like SAT test prep. Then when they get to college, what they thought was a 2 or a 4-year degree might turn into 5 years or 6 or more because they have to take remedial classes, or they can only go to school part-time because they have to work. And then if something happens, a parent gets sick, an aunt in Arizona can't help pay for books, everything can fall apart in an instant. When it comes to succeeding in school, kids end up on very different paths depending on their family income, says Prudence Carter. She's a dean at UC Berkeley who studies social and economic inequalities in schools. She uses this analogy.
There are some kids who are on escalators that are going up smoothly, floor after floor. And then there are some kids who are on stairwells with missing handrails, broken steps.
And if you're on a stairwell with missing handrails and broken steps, you might not get to the top.
That was a preview of part two in our four-part documentary series on education, airing Saturday nights at 5. Stay with us. Marketplace Morning Report is on the way.